This is episode 251. Does not sing reggae.
Somebody's got talent.
It's another heartwarming episode of the Tone Control. Yep.
A podcast.
All right. Welcome to the 250th time. And this time, I'm going to get it. Is it 250th?
It's 251st.
It's the 250. After 250 times, I'm going to get it right this time. Actually, you know what? No, I'm changing it. This is going to be the time when I'm not just, complaining about myself and how bad I am at podcasting. This is the episode, people. This is the one.
Yeah, where Justin's like, I'm fucking awesome at this.
The one where Justin's not gonna talk about how bad I am at this or anything. It's gonna be great.
Yep. Yeah. Maybe you won't hang up in the middle of the show a couple times. We'll see.
I actually think I might not hang up in the middle of the show. I have made a sincere effort. I've changed a few things around.
I think this is gonna work great.
It feels faster.
It feels like better than like just in this immediate time. So
yeah,
welcome to the Tone Control.
There's been a lot of latency before. So yeah, welcome to the Tone Control, where we guitar.
Control tone.
Yeah, we. Oh man, it was right there. Why didn't I say that? Why did I not say that? Where we control tone. A joyful place.
Sorry, I'm a little sick. It's a time of year where we're just like a little bit sick all the time.
Yeah.
So, apologies for coughing breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Coming in hot.
That's something we don't have yet. 251 episodes. We don't have a cough.
We don't have a cough button. I can just roll off the input to my mic and just like very slowly kind of fade it down, and then Anyway.
Oh wow. I wonder what my post processing is going to think about that. Because you know what I'm not going to do? Manually fix whatever just went wrong there.
That's okay. How are you?
I'm good. It's a Tone Control Monday, which means it's busy AF, down to the minute, gulping down food. I did have the presence of mind to get a crock pot meal going for today. So
ooh,
I did
smart.
Get to just roll in and eat some soup. Enchilada soup. Okay.
I'm here.
Do you need me to say anything else about that?
Nope.
It was great. I feel like there was a story I was going to tell and I can't remember it right now. Can you first?
I'll go first.
Yeah.
Let's see. It's Monday. The course I'm teaching starts today.
Oh.
Started today. So.
Starts today.
It's about half an hour, so
let's pick up the pace here.
No, it's online. So it just opens in the morning and, it's people roll in and are becoming active and their thing. It's all asynchronous.
Did you teach today?
I don't actively teach. Like I don't go to a place at a time. I don't do any of that. So it's I have like pre-scheduled a lot of my like lecture equivalent type of material to go out over the next 8 weeks.
Yeah.
The first one went out this morning. So I'm responsible for grading and discussions and sort of just like it's more like I'm adjunct faculty. So it's more like facilitating students through a learning experience than it is actually standing up there and explaining things. So the courses at SNHU are pre-designed by coincidentally the department I work in. And they build these courses with a whole team of people, including subject matter experts. So anyone can, with a little bit of training and with, some experience in the area and stuff, can come in and teach whatever curriculum they've been assigned, basically. So I'm assigned to my area of interest in, marginal expertise, I guess.
It's not like I could go in. This is what I promised we weren't going to do today.
No, it's what you promised weren't going to do.
Oh, okay.
I would not feel comfortable going in and teaching a business course, right? Because I don't have background in that. Right. But anyway, I'm teaching about visual arts and graphic design and stuff, which is very cool. Mm-hmm. So that starts today, and it's like, it's an 8-week course, and it's like at the beginning of this week, here's everything you have to do by Sunday of this week. So see you on the other side.
Yeah.
Basically. And it's cool. It works out really well because we have so many students and they're all in different time zones and stuff like that. So we call it asynchronous. So you're not on a Zoom call at a time.
Right. Yeah.
Because some people work, you know, in the middle of the night.
There's no class period.
Yeah. Right. So, and that's true for me too. There's no class period that I have to be. I have the same kind of deadlines. It's like grades are due by end of the week at this time. Just get them in before that. That's sort of the deal. And it makes it really easy. So it makes the experience really easy, I should say. The subject matter itself is a different story. But that started today, and I'm just like waiting for stuff to kind of start happening.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've got 29 students in my class, and I'm just sort of like, okay. Like,
you're waiting for an email. Whenever
you're ready.
I had that when I began, and I was like checking the email constantly and like nothing was happening. And it was like, oh man, all the emails you're going to get, people are telling me, and it's crickets. And oh, am I going to get questions from students? There's no questions. And it's like, in fact, I found after I got into the flow of it, we were like 3 or 4 weeks in maybe. And I looked, cause I can see, we use Canvas, which is the managed sort of class management software.
An LMS, a learning management system.
That's the one I wanted. Yes. Yeah. And so I can see my students' like activity when they've signed into the course and like how many minutes they've viewed. And I had students who had never opened the course, and we were like, we'd been having classes and everything, and they're just like, looking at me and then going home and not, you know, that was funny. But I had such a totally different thing. Like,
yeah,
I did not, you know, Canvas has the ability to prep all this stuff and have the assignments deploy and all this stuff. But like, I didn't have lessons and things. I had sort of an outline of what the guy I'm taking over for does. But it was really like lecture. Although I'm called adjunct as well. Doesn't that just mean you're not like a full-time employee of the school?
Yeah, that's like you're a contracted employee. So like you're I just mean that by saying like I'm not full-time faculty. Like I'm not for this. Like I am SNU and Sandy Juice staff. But for a job. I
suppose for you it has a different meaning, right? Because you do still work for the company full-time. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, right. So my teaching is technically overtime. But we'll see. It's going to be, it should be fun. I'm looking forward to it. And the pay is good, and it's going to go straight into daycare. So,
a fun way to think direct about line. Money, right?
Yeah. Well, fun?
Well, okay. Well, maybe that's the wrong word. But I have that experience too, where I complete a job, and it's like I get like a check, or you know, I get a deposit for whatever this amount of money was, and I can think like, here's something that costs that much money. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's just kapunk. There it is.
There it is. That is now taken care of.
That's what I've done.
I have a problem of doing that, but then also saying like, and now, since that was taken care of, I can buy something, right? Or like I can get this thing that I wouldn't have if I didn't have this extra money, which is just a roundabout way of saying like, I made the extra money and now I'm going to go spend it on X. It's like there's a transitive thing. Like I've spent it on important thing, which means I have extra money for not important thing.
you have paid your sense of responsibility.
Yeah.
And now it is time to reap the rewards of having paid that.
Yeah. Right. I just deserve a little something nice. You know, things are hard. The world's ending all the time. Like maybe I'll go buy a record, right? Maybe I'll get a candy bar, right? Stuff like that. Yep. So anyway, that started today. And then like work was madness today. Just one of those days where things are friggin' off the hook.
Yeah.
And I'm talking to somebody about one thing and somebody else is messaging me about something else. And, you know, I have one of those jobs that's like, The definition of a failure to plan on your part does not constitute an emergency on my part.
Mm-hmm.
Also, along with that, the other side of that coin is your project is not the only thing I'm working on. So there's a little bit of this, like, I'm not just sitting around waiting for your emails to come in. So it was just a really busy day. Uh-huh, and then daycare calls.
Oh boy.
And then daycare calls. And then we sent Jack in knowing he had like a little bit of a weird rash going on. Mm-hmm. Basically convinced it's just some weird viral thing, because that's what happens to babies and it's that time of year.
And he's had that too.
He's had it a lot.
Skinnish reactions.
So,
yeah.
Yep. And so they're like, hey, we think you should get him checked out, which is not something they've ever said before. So
and
that
they
was
know
kind
him
of a,
too,
a,
so,
those, yeah, kind of an alarm. So we brought him in and they're like, yeah, some kind of weird rash thing, huh? That's it. Just like, he's fine. Like, he's just totally, he's got a cold. Like, well, they tested him for a bunch of stuff and he's negative on everything. So he's fine. It's just some weird thing that's going to go away in a few days. And he's a little cranky.
Oh, this is what the doctor said.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The daycare said you should take him to the doctor.
I misunderstood. We like, I thought like you got there to pick him up and then daycare was like, yeah, he's got a rash. And then you like went home.
No. Sorry. This was like in the morning.
Right.
They called at like 9. So it was like the day was just starting, you know, and
oh man,
9 or 10 or something. And then so
and
we
then
go pick
really
him up.
Really weren't waiting for anybody's email.
Yeah. So he was home in the afternoon. My in-laws had to come up and watch him and stuff while I finished up the workday. Beth took him to the doctor because I was slammed with meetings and stuff. And so it's just like a crazy pants day. And on top of that, again, like you want this sort of smoking gun, like he's got this, give him this pill and he'll be great.
Right.
And he's like, no, he's just got a cold and he's a gross, germy kid. Sorry.
Yep.
Fucking gotta let it run its course.
Hate that.
Every time.
And it is virtually every single time. It's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing, though. It's not that enough of the time that you still think you need to go to the doctor every time. Because you should.
You do.
And you do need to go every time.
You can't get away from it.
And then the doctor's like, oh, you again, because they sort of give you this like little remark sometimes of like, we just saw you guys. Oh, no. Like, I know.
And it's like in the,
But I called and spoke to your nurse who said you should come in. So go take it up with them. But anyway.
Right.
So it was just a wild day. So here we are.
Here we are.
Podcast arising.
Mm-hmm. And okay. I remembered I was like, I know there was something that I could actually talk about. We went to the Renaissance Fair. The Ohio Renaissance Fair is going on. This was my first Renaissance Fair.
I've never been to one either.
So we went on Saturday. It was pretty cool. We got out there kind of early. The crowd is massive. The costumes were most, you know, plentiful and fantastic. It was fun to like... And once again, you know, my first Ren Fair, but, you know, walking around, like, it's basically mostly shops and then there's some shows, right? And the shops aren't, I mean, they're themed and they're stuff that belongs there. But other than that, they're like people who work at shops, you know what I mean? Except there's this attitude, you know, there's this sort of like, I'm in character kind of attitude to the way they're like doing they're sort of like, carnival crying at you, you know, like come in my shop, you know, those other guys are garbage and they're like hollering things at each other. And, lots of really fun stuff. We saw an act called Kamikaze Fireflies, which I guess was on X Factor or Somebody's Got Talent or one of those kinds of shows.
Okay.
I don't know which talent it was. I think it's probably America. Does America have a talent or is that just Britain? Anyway,
yeah,
I don't watch TV.
Yeah.
Okay, America Has Talent is probably what they were on. Or that's probably, anyway, never mind. The point is, it's a couple of people doing acrobatics with fire and stuff like that. And a guy like hitting, playing cards with a whip and climbing up on stuff that has fire on it and popping balloons with a blowgun.
I'm a sucker for a spectacle.
Yeah, man. There were bands. There was axe throwing. Like horse acrobatics display. There was a falconry show with like hunting falcons. And we saw an eagle owl, which is 30 inches tall, by the way, standing. That's like
Good
a table,
God.
Just so everybody keeps in mind. That's like how
that's
tall
a big
a
ass
table
bird.
Is
yeah.
on, from the ground. And they had peregrines, and they flew the peregrines around, and they had it do like target. He had like a target on a rope, and he would swing that shit, and the peregrine would. He took him four or five tries, but he eventually tagged it. And then it's you know, the agreement you have with the bird, right? Yeah. It gets it, and you could tell right away. Instead of swooping around for another pass, he just dropped down and like landed next because he knows I get my food now. You know what I mean? I tag that shit.
Yeah, I got a chicken liver now. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. Jousting. It started to rain. We didn't get to see all of the jousting, but it was quite a spectacle. And Arya wore like kind of a costume dress. And there was a place that was doing like fancy braids and hair.
Awesome.
So I was like, you want to do that, don't you? And you know, it was like,
yeah.
Mariel was like, that's really expensive. And I'm like, I don't care. She's getting her hair. She wants to get her hair braided. I wanted to remember this thing. Yeah exactly. Yeah. So it's like she got her hair with this fancy like braid and there's ribbons in it and all this shit. And she was fucking thrilled.
That's great. So speaking of thrilled kids, I have one more thing. Yesterday we went to Trunk or Treat, which was hosted by the gymnasium, like the gymnastics gym that some friends of ours take their daughter to.
Yeah.
And so they were like, oh, just come to Trunk or Treat with us. You don't have to go. Trunk or Treat is like trick or treating, but everybody like parks their cars and opens up the trunks of their cars to hand out candy to the kids of the place. Yeah. And so we went and Jack was dressed up as the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. Look at this kid.
Which I've gone ahead and I've put up on screen and you can. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anybody there, in Discord like, can see, obviously, but I'm also sharing in case people in Discord haven't figured out the new system, the other screen is going to be the topic window so you can view it there. And so anyway, go on.
So anyway, he's just here in this like full body sweatsuit with like a little cutout for his face.
And the head is so big that the cutout looks so little. Fucking Stay Puft.
So far, he's awesome in Halloween costumes, and he just loves it because they're like cozy, warm, and stuff. And so he's walking around.
He doesn't think he's dressed weird.
Not at all. But then we went inside. They had like a free open gym, not free, but like paid. It was like $10, and you can go to open gym time. And it was his first time in a gymnastics gymnasium.
Oh, and nice.
He had. I can't exaggerate this. Literally the time of his life. It was the most fun he's ever had in his entire life because he's only 15 months old. But like,
sure, that's fine.
It was remarkably fun. We thought like, oh, this might be like, I don't know if he'll take to it or if he'll just sometimes kids just watch other kids play, which is a developmental thing. But he was like, this is the sickest thing ever. He was like running around, climbing on stuff. He's not old enough to jump yet. Like he hasn't figured out jumping. So he's just like tumbling all over the place and having a blast. So it was really fun. That's all. That's the end of my second story now. I promise we can move on soon.
Fucking outstanding.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Really good.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Now, as I remember where my windows are, it seems like we actually do have some guitar crap to talk about.
Yeah, there's like one guitar crap thing in the news, in the notes that we can bring up. So, you want to hit me with the sound?
I do. And it's going to be this one.
Filthy.
fucking disgusting. Awesome.
Some bass pedal or an octave thing?
The Digitech drop.
Oh, yeah.
An octave thing if I ever did hear one, yes.
Yes, facts. Yes.
Right.
So
anyway, but that's all to say. What that is all to say is, what is this? And I see the Walrus logo.
Yeah, we're here to talk about the Walrus Audio 385 Mark II.
Okay, so this sounds like a redo of something, but I heard you earlier saying that this was something to actually be excited about and not just
excited about. Yeah, so it's so the 385 is a pedal that they've made for a while, and it's inspired by a Bell & Howell film projector called the Filmosound 385, and it's from the sound circuit, the audio circuit of that, and it makes for a really wicked overdrive pedal, basically. So the 385 quickly became a favorite among players and stuff like that. So here's the Mark II, right? So it's still inspired by that Filmosound 385. However, this is the thing that I think makes it exciting. They've added an A-B switch to toggle between two sets of gain and volume.
Okay, so it's two pedals now.
It's two pedals. It's two of the same pedal in one box, and you can jump between the two of them. You can't run them parallel. Like, you can't run them together, but you can jump between, like, rhythm and lead or high gain, low gain, or, like, whatever you want to do.
Hmm.
I think that's great. I think this is such a good idea. They've also added a new 385 Plus switch. That's a little mini toggle on the left-hand side that they say slams the front end of the circuit for more high gain sounds. Comes in two different color options? Like, fuck yeah. Right, okay, you can buy shoes in different colors. Why can't you buy pedals in different colors?
Oh, I like this.
Me too.
See, I find the one with all the busy, the one with all
the old projector.
Sorry, I got to move my, I'm like looking, this is my new setup. I have like shit over here. I have to, yes, am I still doing a good job? Okay, I'm trying to. Okay, anyway, as I was saying, this is fine.
It's the old projector.
The old projector.
It's the 385 projector chassis printed on that pedal.
Okay. So. It's just so busy. I can't read it. I get that. But this
one's clean.
This one's clean.
Got a tube on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So. Wow.
You've got volume A, gain A, and then a global treble and boost. A treble and bass, sorry. And then a volume B and a gain B and a bypass switch and then another foot switch that just jumps A to B, A to B, A to B.
Okay. Yeah. I like that.
And it's a logical progression for how overdrives should be. Like, you see this and you're like, of course. Why aren't all overdrives this way?
Yeah. And that's so how I have used overdrives too. Like, it's just naturally how I want to. I want to be used to do this, the volume pedal business with mine. And
The unbooster,
right?
Underdriver. Yeah.
Whatever we're going to call it.
So it's $250, which I think feels like a lot because it is a lot.
Yeah. But like, I don't know. I trust Walrus, right?
I trust Walrus too. I like Walrus stuff a lot. In fact, I mentioned last time that I bought a pedal and we didn't talk about it on the show. And it's
is it here? Oh, it's here.
Hang on.
Okay. As you hear me just like violently rip Velcro off my pedal board. Some time ago, there was the pedal movie that was put out by Reverb. And it was like a cool documentary about the history of pedals and pedal manufacturers and things like that. And for the movie, a bunch of pedal makers made exclusive runs of pedals to like promote stuff like that. And they were, limited runs and stuff. And Walrus Audio made this, which is the Warhorn Ages. So this is the Ages overdrive, which I have one
already. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And really, really, really love it, as well as their pedal, the Warhorn, in one box. And there's an order switcher and stuff like that. It's awesome. And I got it for an amazing deal, considering that I think I got it for like, it was under $150. But the Ages right now is $250 on its own.
Yeah.
So like, duh. And the Warhorn, they just discontinued. So here it is. Anyway, this is all to say that I think Walrus not only knows what they're doing, but really does it super well.
But really knows what they're doing?
Really knows what they're doing.
I could flip back over here.
Yeah. I mean, everything I've had from them has been outstanding. So I believe the 385 Mark II is going to be nothing short of great.
So this is in pre-order.
Yeah.
But it says they're going to ship before the 28th.
Which is Saturday. So as of this recording. So by the time this comes out, they'll be out.
They'll be shipping. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice.
I just think the AB thing is like, what an idea, right? Why did no one have this idea?
It makes me wonder, how is that like tough to do? Do they really have to double all the components, or are they just
Is it digital and it's a little preset thing?
Right. Is it that there are two controllable parameters that are adjusting and there's actually only one pedal in here? Which would be great, you know?
Yeah. Hmm. Smart. This is like, we go on about the market and stuff probably too much, but I think I see this thing and I'm like, smart idea. And smart ideas are what's so exciting right now for me in mm-hmm. all of this. Right, I don't need another tube screamer. I'm not gonna back in the box.
We're about to say it. No, we're not. We're not doing it.
So that's the deal. I mean, that's what's in the notes.
Yeah. That's it, huh? So Hold on.
Let me like, scroll again,
over here.
The same problem as before. Like, you know, mm-hmm. what else is there to talk about as far as an overdrive? I'm not gonna get into like, oh, it sounds like this mixed with that. Yeah. Nobody cares to hear about that. But check it out.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, thanks for listening to the Tone Control. You know what we need? We need GIFs because I'm stress testing this new system.
Okay.
So this was always when everything would fall apart. So you
can know Doug GIFs, is in the chat tonight.
And I've got something else that I'm going to call up while you guys think of something.
Okay. So Doug's in the chat. I think the GIF call is walruses, based on what I'm seeing here. Yes, we are moving forward with walruses. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God. This is going to make for some really bad radio, but that's okay. Justin's like off camera. What are you doing? Are you putting on like...
No, I'm sorry. Okay. I was trying to do something with this computer, which I didn't need to be doing.
Walrus is doing crunches is an area of the internet I didn't know I needed, but here it is.
Well, I hope these are great. I need to have like a quick. Oh, you know what I can do? I can show this.
Oh, like, you can.
I can just put it up in front of Derek's face.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not going to keep doing that. What I can do is I can set up a different screen for that at some point. For now, I can just throw it right up in here.
Fantastic.
Walrus is doing crunches. Oh, this guy? Yeah. Outstanding.
Very good.
I'm trying to find... Ah, got it. There was a...
Oh, yes.
You just I was going to ask. I totally didn't have time. The one puking rainbows. Good Lord, stuff puking rainbows. That's always a good gif. Okay, so here's something that I'll just add to the notes since there was nothing else going on. So this is something my brother brought up, and you know what? We're going to punctuate with a sound, and why not? I use that all the time, but it's because it's one of those old short ones, you know?
Yeah. Yes, Music Versal. I did not have time to read about this either, but...
I looked at it a little bit I looked at it. So this is Music Versal, and realizing a little bit can't be seen up here, so I'm just adjusting slightly. Okay. Anyways, Tyler points this out and I go to check it out. I guess somebody he ran into is using this to put together their music, right? So it's like a, I don't know, I'm assuming like a singer-songwriter type of person, just somebody just creating things. So this is a platform, and this all seems extremely brand new because you can see at the top here it says join the waitlist.
Join the waitlist, yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of the level that we're at here. But it's basically like a marketplace for hiring session players and other kinds of things surrounding that, right?
I see. So, I misunderstood when you guys were talking about it before. I thought it was a place to find people to play music with, which I guess it may turn into, but like, because I remember hearing something about a platform like that. And I at first thought it was like, oh, I think those exist. Maybe this isn't as exciting, but this is different than that. So this is like, if you have a song and you need someone who's better at the instrument than you to play it.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And
or if you're like, I want banjo on this track, but I don't know how or what to do about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so it's, and this has been done before also, I think not quite in this format, but it seems like it's brand new. But basically what they're offering is there's like a subscription. And if you have a current subscription, you can basically book an unlimited number of these sessions. You own the music when the session is done. There's no royalty or anything like that. I looked into it a little bit. I looked through the FAQ, and there's some things like their sessions are a half an hour. You can have up to four sessions booked at a time. So like they, it is unlimited, but you can't just like book the 30 sessions over the next 30 days. You can book four sessions at a time. Once one of them completes, you can book another
kind of half an hour. That feels really short.
Yeah.
Like it takes me a half an hour to get started.
And this is kind of why I thought it might be a good thing, not just because like I think a lot of people in the audience and in Discord and stuff are somebody who might decide to patronize this. But like, is this going to work? See, I don't entirely know, because there's a join the wait list is the closest you can get to it. And obviously, like, I also kind of looked at it from the perspective of like, well, what about working for you? Right. So a guitarist working for them, and they do have, I searched and found it. There is a sort of quasi hidden page of sort of job postings.
I was going to say, like, how do I become someone who can be paid by them to record other people's music?
Exactly. And they have like, you know, they were looking for a violin player. They were looking, you know, they basically have a bunch of instruments that they currently have openings for, kind of thing. And a button that says like, apply for this. They have a few things like mixers and mastering engineers. They have some people on here who are beat makers. And stuff like that. So there's kind of a catalog. So
Doug is mentioning in the chat.
I just noticed the price tag, which I didn't look at until now.
Yeah. Doug is saying, is it competing with Fiverr? It sounds so far like an inferior platform for more money. But I think the idea here would be that it's more
not
money,
inferior.
But I think with that, it's not an inferior platform to, you know, TBD. But I think with that price tag comes a pretty serious amount of vetting, right? On Fiverr, you're getting kind of whoever decides to spin up a marketplace on Fiverr. Is that right? I've never actually used Fiverr, so I don't know. But
yeah, exactly. So Fiverr has it starts from this place where get anything done for $5.
Yeah.
Right. And if you're because I've looked at joining Fiverr, and I think I never really did. I can't remember. Maybe I've made an account, but you have to kind of put in your time with Fiverr, but eventually you get to offer products that cost more than that.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So I actually like a great session drummer that I have used on several projects with artists who wanted drums, and I keep referring them to this guy, and he keeps pumping out stuff that they like. He does like something like 150 to 250 a song, depending on what options you want. He gives you three takes. You know what I mean? He talks to you about it, gives you three takes, and he's a home recording drummer, right? And he just kind of takes care of it, which is not unreasonable. So the Fiverr can have good stuff on it, but it also is this like, yeah, if you actually are going there and getting something for $5, like if
it's going to be a $5 drum take,
like, right? If it's a Discord icon, like you should have asked ChatGPT to draw it for you, or Midjourney or whatever. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, at this point, that's probably putting those things out of business. Or you should be paying more, even if it is on Fiverr. You know, a musician that's worth their, you know, here's what I know. They say, they don't tell me, here's how much we pay our musicians. They say, we make sure our musicians are paid a fair wage, like for a full time. Like they talk about it in like this many thousands of dollars a year equivalent. And then they make a remark about like some kind of compensation based on locality. Right. So like
it's more expensive to live in New York and LA than it is.
Right. Yeah, so New York and LA, you probably are paid more by them, assuming that they're being being right. as honest as they can be about this, right?
So, excuse me, sorry. Remote recordings is what they're calling it. Musiversal. Sorry, I think I said musicversal earlier.
Musiversal. So, looks like you basically sign in almost like a Zoom call and watch your recording happen. Half an hour, I would hope that your brief basically is discussed and everything ahead of time, and you're really just sitting and watching it happen.
Yeah, that's the part I'm stuck on.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't seem like time for feedback. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you'd have to have. So let's use drums as an example, right? Like you might program out your beat or something like that, and you want someone to play an acoustic drum kit on it and have the good sounds and the good production and all that stuff. But it's like, here's the part. Please play this part to the letter, to the note, right? Is that what we're talking about? Or is it like, I need a drum part and do your thing? Guy, right? So like
I've worked with a ton of some of the best session drummers, some of the best session players ever, and they get it in three takes. Like that's why they're worth more money, but they still sit there and study the song for 10 or 15 minutes, and then we take the next 45 minutes to get those three takes, you know, and we're discussing things in between. And so it does seem pretty fucking short.
I was going to say, like, I thought a session would be like a half day or 2 hours or something like that, where you can like sink your teeth in a little bit. And I don't know. I think I've not done this kind of work where I play on someone else's track, but in my experience of doing just demos for this show, right, where I'm writing a little riff and like writing a little thing and having to do takes and get a sound and all that stuff, that takes way more than a half an hour. Like it'll take a half an hour to like pull up a tone.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I totally
agree. Like wonder how they separate. Like it must be your tracking time is the half an hour counter, right? And not the other
stuff. It must be like the time that you're actually tuned in watching them perform it, I guess. So I've pulled up the FAQ. In the Musiversal app, pick an artist, book a slot, and collaborate live with high-quality video and audio. Recording sessions are 30 minutes, 45 for mastering, editing, or singing. Get your files 15 minutes post-session. Mixing's not included in the subscription, which means you're paying extra for mixing or you're taking it somewhere else.
Oh, okay. I see.
Right? They really make it sound like you're not having an interaction with them before your 30-minute session, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, what's going to be faster, right? It's like you hand someone a notated piece of music that you programmed or something, right? Then they've got to learn that.
Okay, now here's what Doug's saying. Book all four of the sessions you're allowed to book simultaneously. Just book them back to back. You can find a two-hour block. Then you'd be getting
somewhere. That's why they're doing that. So you can book down to 30 minutes, or if it's like,
yeah. So if I pick,
I still feel like I wouldn't say it that way though.
Let's explore the roster. Okay. So here's explore the roster. Here's the musicians. So she's a vocalist.
Oh, so they have like a profile on here and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. They have demos of what they've performed. They have credits, reviews from clients.
Interesting. Main genres.
The main genres. She's from the UK. She has this bio. Wow, look at the
vocal range is listed there. That's insane.
Wait, where did you see that?
Underneath the genres.
Oh, look at that. Oh, yeah. F3 to G5, head voice up to C6.
Crazy.
I want to look at her bio. Let's do view more. Yeah, they're allowed to... Claire cannot be... Mentioned or credited. That's interesting. Studio, she works in Logic Pro. She has a Focusrite Scarlett. She has
all the way down to the gear.
An SEZ 5600, which is a fucking big boy microphone. She does not sing Brazilian, heavy metal, reggae, or world music. If you're hiring her for one of those, get fucked. okay, So here's the other thing. They've talked about the subscription. There's kind of another side of this here. So unlimited is what we've been talking about, right? 200 a month is the cost of this. So for 200 a month, you can book these people. I was kind of, I'll accept your cookies. I need to make a profile before I can like book these things.
Right. So go to On Demand there.
So On Demand has a separate, oh shoot, sorry. I tried to log into it. I don't want to log in.
Right there, at the top, unlimited, on demand, and orchestras.
On demand. Okay. So now, when I looked at this earlier, they have a somewhat different roster. Some of these people are available for both, like that singer Claire was available for both. On demand, book professional session musicians starting at 79, no subscription. Okay, so now we've flipped the tables.
How long is the session at 79? Still a half an hour?
Let's check this. So there's some different people on here. I noticed all of the like mixing engineer, mastering engineer people were on this service and not tending to be on the unlimited. Mm-hmm. Okay, apparently we're buying credits.
Still 30 minutes.
Apparently we're buying credits. Session musicians cost one credit for 30 minutes. So singers, it's a similar thing, 45 minutes. Pre-production, so stem mastering costs two credits and it's 90 minutes. Mixing costs three and it's 60 minutes plus 5 hours offline. So you've got a 60-minute virtually in-person session and then they're working on your track offline. They spend 5 hours away.
Asynchronously, yeah.
So three credits is worth, so if it's starting, so it must be $80 is what they're charging for 30 minutes. So that means like mixing, you're basically getting like a day's worth of mixing and some consultation, I would say, just on average, is going to cost you, you know, what's that? $240?
Yeah. So, okay. I'm with you here.
All right. So how does On Demand work? Our lowest commitment option. Okay. We knew that. How good is the quality of your artist? This is not what I want to know. All right, sessions. This is exactly the same FAQ as the other thing. What materials do I submit ahead of time? Send over your stems, excluding the instrument line to be recorded, providing written material, chords and scores, makes your session more efficient. To get your session material created for you, opt for our pre-production session. So yeah, they'll kind of help you with every step of the way, I guess.
This is very interesting. So
I do, I've looked at it a little more.
This takes something like the, I want to be a session musician, but
yeah,
it's the networking part of it. That's like the hard part, the having a website, being really active on socials, etc. We needed this like 4 or 5 years ago, and then with the pandemic it would have blown the fuck up, but you know what I mean?
I wonder the
remote recording thing like was crazy.
Don't forget.
So like $200 a month though, like who's that for?
Right. So now it seems to me like $200 a month, like if you're really working on a lot of content, you can buy a month or two or three of that. You wouldn't have it all the time, right? Unless you're a producer. Like maybe I'm a producer and I am making a ton of tracks and I'm turning around and selling my beats or whatever, and I'm actually hiring musicians to make those, right? To work on my compositions. But I expect it would be more like you go on this on-demand thing or, you know, buy a month of unlimited because you're really going to whale on it this month.
Yeah.
That could work. It does strike me a little bit like, you know, being sort of a freelance and sort of developing your own website and stuff, and how do I connect, right? Like you're saying, there's a juxtaposition there because like something like this, maybe you could get a lot of business through this.
I bet you could.
The way they're talking about this here, I just pulled it up. So we provide musicians a steady salary equivalent to 48,000 full-time salary in the U.S., adjusted for local costs worldwide rather than a per gig payment. So your salary, if you work for them, apparently.
Salary-ish. Like they're saying it's equivalent.
It's equivalent, but that, right. So that doesn't mean that they're keeping you full time.
No.
It means that when you are working for them, you're making, I mean, 48. Yeah, like
if you work for them, if you work for them for a month, it would extrapolate out to 48K a year for 12 right. months. It's just that you're not on the it's 1099 work. It's got to be.
It has to be, yeah. But it also, obviously, like, the whole thing being work for hire and like, if we go back to, like, the first main page here, retain 100% copyright, they're assuring all that ahead of time. That's totally standard. They absolutely should do that. The stuff I saw about not crediting the singer, I think, is a little bit more questionable, because, like, if I'm somebody trying to come up and do this, like, if I want to be a session player, a remote session player, I would want this probably to be one of my avenues.
Unless that's on a per performer basis. And maybe that one you selected has something that she cannot be credited for some other reason.
Let's look at somebody else. Let's look at somebody else. So
do like this guy.
Mr. Beatmaker here. Devin Malloy.
Yeah.
So let's see, what was it in the bio is where hers said that. He's making no mention of not crediting.
Yeah, that makes me think it's just like a per musician detail.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. So if they're allowing their musicians to be credited, then I would have no problems working for them, on a kind of per gig basis. This guy, what is this, Fruity Loops? That's probably Fruity Loops, right? I've never seen their logo. Yeah. He's got an Apollo. He's got a Midas preamps and
I mean, like, it's cool.
He's got microphones listed as if
I think he's having a beat maker.
Why does he need microphones for?
Sampling. I think it's cool to have, this is very interesting, because I think, it's not just a musician-centric social network that connects people who make music to people who want to make music, right? It's also
more hands-on
and it's also the platform of business for it. Like Patreon is sort of like the platform of business for that kind of thing,
Right.
They're a middleman, but it's also you can't cut out the middleman easily in this scenario, right? You still need their tools. So this is cool. I'm really curious to see how it goes once it's like launched.
Right, exactly. And it must be like the kind of thing like where you have a wait list. It's probably while they're building up their people, that once they open up more widely, maybe they'll need more people. I don't know. I'll keep my eye on it. I wouldn't mind being somebody who could possibly receive, it would come down to the pay, right? Because like there's kind of a certain amount at this point that I need in order to make it worth my time. But like,
I was just going to say that. Yeah.
Mixing, it might be tough for me to be on to what they're charging for mixing, knowing that they're probably paying me like half of that. That's probably not something I can do, but like, I don't know, vocal editing, that's something people do a lot. Vocal editing, drum editing. I can whip through that in a half an hour or something like that, and be of great value to somebody. And maybe that would be fine.
I know when it comes down to it, right?
Yeah.
I know the part, I've got my tones, I'm all hooked up, ready to go. Yeah. I trust that I could get to a place where I could do that in 30 minutes. Like me, myself, I'm not going to be signing up for this, but like,
we read a little more and I think it does sound like you do get the brief ahead of time
ahead of time, but I just mean like my skill,
you're booking at least 5 days in advance. So,
right. I just mean like my skills and confidence as a guitarist to know that I can nail it within 30 minutes and not really sweat that. Cause what if you blow it?
Right? What if they're not happy?
Yeah. I'm sure there's something in there about that, but,
if they're on the unlimited plan, you're fine. You just got to do it again.
I just mean as the musician, if you like,
yeah.
If you do, you just
want
like
to blow it,
take the L and do it again.
That's interesting.
Like, I'm just saying, like, what if within the 30 minutes, a bunch of shit goes wrong and you just can't do it, right? You break a string.
Oh, okay.
You,
so if something
there's all this other garbage.
I think definitely you're giving them either extra time, like you're continuing beyond the time, or you're booking another session at a different time if you can't. And I think Musiversal needs to be covering that kind of thing. They right. would have like they would have that kind of figured into their insurance.
It's also like stuff. if you're enough of a professional, these things don't matter. And that's what I'm saying is like, how do you get to that thread, to that range?
Doug's like digging deep on all this shit for us.
He is.
He's like an expert. Okay, what is this? Depending on its nature, each session. Well, you're saying too much,
oh
Doug.
Oh, my God. Hold he's on. Got this, clause 1.13.
He's copying all of their
Jesus
TNCs.
Jesus fucking Christ, Doug.
Each session will have specific requirements presented to you during the booking process. How much time in advance you should upload your materials. That's good. As well as other technical and or musical information. This makes it seem like you are definitely submitting a brief. Okay, and this is Doug's commentary. This makes it seem like you're definitely submitting a brief. That they're checking before the session. Yeah, you can cancel any of your upcoming sessions. Musiversal, that is rough.
Not a great name.
Musiversal reserves the right of canceling a session without previous notice if one of the following events occur. Here we go. Your submitted materials lie outside the scope of what the recording sessions are stated to be within the definitions of our terms of use. Okay. So if you fuck
namely,
up and ask
regarding
for something
unfair
different.
Or misusage and prohibited practices outlined and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, so I think it's just like other logistical reasons could count for things like equipment failures. I think you're right.
Yeah, yeah.
You just have to reschedule or something. But yeah,
and
I think...
And if you book a session and then you turn out to be a joker, then they can cancel on you. You know what I mean? If your materials come in...
Yeah.
You know, because and that's them protecting their musicians, right? Like if their materials come in and I'm trying to think of some nightmare scenario, right? Like nothing is the way it's supposed to be or something, then you can cancel ahead of time. Imagine getting to the actual session time and it's like you told me this was in G and it's in a totally different key.
Yeah. I'm still so curious if it's like the, I don't know, like what if I have, if they're like, write me a guitar part for this, or here's the guitar part for this. Those are such different states of mind to go into something with.
And it specifically said, like, you send your reference without the instrument to be recorded. It makes me feel like, shouldn't I also, like, if I have something that, you know what I mean? Like, if I have keyboarded out the bass part, but I want you to drop, then, you know, I can say, here, like this, feel free to embellish it. Like that's what I would say to a bass player, right? If I was programming something, I would program it out and then like, here's
but do
the
thing that makes you a human being on it, right? Like
right.
do the thing
and
that's not
the,
a robot.
Yeah. Sprinkle your salt and pepper on this, right? But here's the basic gist and I'm making it easy on them and I'm giving them the freedom, right? So.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that turned out to be way more of a discussion than I thought it was going to be.
That's fine. I don't want to continue just reading the website to people, but
no,
I also think
it's
so curious. I know I keep asking this question, like, which is it? And it may just be like down to the project and down to the person you're hiring. But I think as someone who would like, say I'm trying to be hired as a guitarist, which would I prefer? I have no fucking idea. Right. Like, do I want to just, somebody's like, I can't play guitar very well, but I know piano and I know the chords are this, right? And I want it to go in this rhythm. I just need you to execute it. Is that better than saying like, give me something that's like Green Day in 1994 meets blah, 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 like a little more creative push and pull, like the thing that makes you, like I hired you for your creative input. Yeah. Or is it, you know what I mean? Those two things are such different ends of the spectrum here. I'm very interested in that.
I mean, that seems like something in the bio. Like you could be somebody who prefers one or the other, maybe. Or you could say like, listen, I'm cool if you want to schedule me. I'm cool to like schedule me in the sense that tell me what chords to play. You know what I mean? If you've got something specific in mind, tell me. And if you don't, tell me.
Because I'm just picturing, like, I would get a project and I'm like, noodling around with it and land on something that's like nasty, like something that is a little out of character and like
in the 29th minute,
a real zinger for the song, but it might fail. Like, it might not be what they want at all, even though I think it's radical. Right. So that's the thing I'm curious about, I guess. But yeah, the 29th minute.
You know?
So anyway, good ad. Okay. Thanks, Ty.
Cool. And yeah, and Ty said he ran into this because he met somebody who uses it. Yeah. So now I'd be interested in that feedback, you know, what it's like from somebody who's in the wait list, you know, but
yeah. Very interesting.
I think it's interesting. I always try to pay attention to when these platforms show up because there's Sound Better is another one that's sort of I think it's a little bit more toward like my industry, but musicians, mm-hmm. it's definitely musicians as well, but there's a heavier focus on technical stuff than there is here, even though they're both cross-pollinating. Yeah.
There's a whole tab on this thing for orchestras. That's very interesting too, which we didn't even touch.
I haven't even clicked on that.
Dare we?
I dare. Flip back.
Yeah, I mean, if you're like
professional
scoring
orchestras from your home, or request a quote. So they're not going to tell me a price okay. on this. Yeah.
Yeah, but like, say you're doing an indie film, right? And you need like a big cinematic thing. You could just whip up your 30-piece orchestra there.
Yeah, I mean, look at this. So 30-piece orchestra.
So oh my God, it's $779 for 12 minutes.
12 minute session. This is an orchestra in what flag is that?
Spain? I don't know. It's the Portugal? Emoji flags. I'm very bad at seeing those. Yeah. Goodness.
But on the other hand, here's a string quartet, and I saw this exact profile over in the on demand section as well. $500 for a 60 minute session with seemingly a legit like, string quartet.
Yeah.
They're from England. They can be booked as early as the 25th. That's in two days. What?
Wow. Yeah.
Book now. I'm pushing the button. Recording date, TBD. Wow. Add to cart. A 1 hour session with Brookspear. How do you say that? Anyway.
Brookspear. That's how Shakespeare is spelled. S-P. Yeah.
And they've got stipulations on here now. So output is strictly max of 5 minutes of music per session of one single score. If your score is longer than 5 minutes or the difficulty proves to be demanding, we will need to charge accordingly as per the quartet's request. So there's individualized terms on all this stuff.
All recordings are 100% commercial buyouts.
Yeah, it says that all over the site, meaning that you don't have any royalties or anything.
You're buying the rights to it. Yeah,
it's work for hire. It's not, they don't retain anything. Yeah.
Wow. There's like a lot of available potential. I was going to say untapped potential, but that's not really a good way to put it. But madness.
And you basically, you watch it as a live stream.
Oh, look at this add-ons.
Oh, sure.
Video coverage.
Pre-production. Ooh, video. Wow.
Oh my God.
Additional
Justin, close
instruments.
The tab. We gotta stop.
Post-production. All right. We're flipping off of this. That's interesting. And they've got, you know, Disney, Marvel, Universal, HBO, Sony, Xbox Game Studios as on here
as clients.
As past clients. It's not like I didn't believe they were real musicians. You know
well,
I mean?
Also, like the fit and finish of all this, is good.
It's high.
Like, it's high. It seems legit. Like So I'll pay attention to this as we go.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Yeah. Wicked.
Wicked.
And look at us rolling in at an hour.
Hey, squeaking it in under the wire. So
every time, like, we were just sweating there for a second, like, oh gosh, what are we going to talk about for the next 45 minutes?
Jokingly at like the 26th minute, hey, like, what thanks for listening.
Oh, somebody texted me today.
No, I actually meant to ask you if I should put this in the notes earlier, but then of course, you know, it was Monday.
The day exploded.
I asked you for that image to use in the setup here. And then apparently right after that, your day exploded.
Yeah.
I'm glad I asked at that point in the morning or we wouldn't have it.
I hate like retelling memes because I think it's just kind of pathetic. But today reminded
let's be pathetic.
Let's do it. It was like, this is the most honest email reply I've ever seen. And it's like, dear Justin, apologies for the delay. I have lost control of the day.
Yeah.
And Today was one of those, like, I have lost control of the day. The day is running around without me.
Right.
And I was looking for that meme to send to someone earlier, and you can get, I have lost control of the day printed on a hoodie, on a t-shirt.
What can't you get printed on a t-shirt?
Certainly not tone control merch. Bing, 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 plug.
Bing, bing,
go buy our merch. Yep.
Yep, you can do it. Technically, we put up a new design. It was a long time ago now, but
we will cover that later.
We will cover it later. So,
hey, things of the week.
So, things of the week. Yeah, and let's tag it with something. Let's put something little fun. What is this?
So,
I'm just going to say Renaissance Fairs, I guess.
Okay. My pick is a YouTube channel. Hang on.
Sure is.
I lost my notes here. It's a YouTube channel. I've mentioned this kind of thing before. I watch a lot of YouTube stuff that's like metalworking and knife making and blacksmithing, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Which has led me into the adjacent rabbit hole of machining. And so this YouTube channel, Inheritance Machining, is a new fave of mine. This guy has inherited a personal, like, private machine shop that was his grandfather's.
Oh, nice.
And he's like bringing it back to life and like putting the shop back together, fixing up the tools and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he does some, there's a lot of things I really like about this. One is just with machining in general, the accuracy and precision and tolerance of all this stuff being so incredibly razor thin, the margins being so tight is fascinating to me. So he's making things, and he's like, there's a little deviation in this about, you know, 5/1000ths of an inch, but I think it's good enough for right now. And I'm like, I can't even comprehend how small 5/1000ths of an inch is. But he's like, you know, maybe I'll go back later and fix it up. But I think it's good enough for now. And then by the end of the video, he's like, I couldn't deal with it. So I went back and fixed it up. Now there's a 1/1000th tolerance, but that's as good as I can get with my tools or something.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
Holy shit.
Different tools.
Yeah. And the second thing I really like about his approach to this is that there's like an air of nostalgia to it, because it was his grandfather's shop. So there's like these old tools that he's, you know, sort of breathing new life into and not like restoring, because they all work and stuff, but he's giving them some much needed TLC after they've been just sitting around. He's making parts for the machines to make parts for other machines.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, how many steps do you want to go? He's making parts to make tools, to make parts, to make parts.
It's the robots, right? Like taking over.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's doing all these little things that are like, oh, I've got this like weird, obscure problem with this part of my lathe or this part of my mill. I'm going to fix it. And it involves making this very obscure part that doesn't exist, right? He needs to make something that is just not something you can go buy. So he designs it and does it all himself. Yep. And on top of that, he's hand drafting. So he's not using CAD, and he's there at a drafting table with a drafting arm, which is like a set of scales
on the
or
table.
Rulers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's got like, no matter where you move this thing, it is square and level.
Yeah.
Right. And then you can do predetermined angles on this thing and stuff. And so he's going around like doing everything by hand. He did a whole video on these, on drafting drawings, explaining like the hardness of lead really matters in this, like the ultimate kind of weird fixation, brain tickling stuff is in these videos. Like, I am not one to want to try this. I don't care to just learn how to do it. I don't want to go to a machine shop or anything like that. I want to watch him make stuff. You know what I mean? And it's watching like the, you know, again, 5/1000ths of an inch passes on a lathe, just like flinging little bits of metal.
Little chips.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Tickles the mind.
Yeah.
So anyway.
In my high school, we had a machine shop that was.
Yeah, a lot of them do.
Reasonable. And I did that I did that all 4 years.
That's cool.
I was pretty into it. Got to use lathes, and I got to build several of these projects that I see, you know.
Yeah.
Ball peen hammers, and like use actual tap wrenches, and
yeah,
cut different metals. Awesome did stuff, some welding, some CNC mill, and yeah.
I think what I like about it so much is that he's very methodical and is taking time to do it the right way, and yeah. That means going slow.
Right.
And
yes.
I'm trying to really adopt some of that because I'm super guilty of this with my guitar stuff, specifically changing strings. I'm just like, get this out of my way. I have stuff to do. Right. I just want to. But when you
task. Yeah.
When you have the time to spare to change strings and like maybe get in there with a little Q-tip and clean things up and just like put on a podcast or listen to some music and take your time, it is such a more enjoyable experience. And so I'm trying to like have that approach to as much stuff in my life as I can when time allows. And watching this sort of machining is just such a good reminder of that. It's like, here, mm-hmm. This is how we do things the correct way, even though no one's going to see this, right? Even though, you know, this tolerance is unimportant, I want it to be right because it's right.
Mm.
And it's just pleasing. So it's called Inheritance Machining. On YouTube. Each video is like between 15 and 30 minutes probably. And it's just a good end of the night. Like, oh, I just want to have it on in the background a little bit, but also how's he going to get that piece to fit in there? Oh my mm-hmm. God. I never even thought of that. You know, the solutions he's thinking of for problems are just fascinating. Awesome projects and stuff. So anyway, check it out.
Fantastic. Love it. Love it. I will.
And Justin says, go to Renaissance fairs.
Yeah. And yeah, I thought the Renaissance fair was fun. Don't wear your nice shoes, you know, it's probably muddy.
Yeah. Anything else?
No, that's it. There's nothing
like looking around my office to see if there's anything else worth.
There's anything behind you worth mentioning. Now we're good.
I think we're good.
I think people are happy with an hour plus long episode. If we were running a bunch that were less than an hour, I'd start to feel bad.
Yeah.
Less than an hour every 2 weeks. That's not enough content.
That's not even a podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. All right then.
Yeah, dude. Okay. Well, hey.
So, you know, What is it that we say and do? We say join the Discord. Links in the description. In the in the video description.
Links
in,
links as well where listen as the listen guys. Notes. It's 2023. Yeah. I think you know where to find the links to the link stuff we talk about. Yeah, it's in the bio. It's in the show notes. It's in the description. Wherever you know links exist in places, go find them. We're on Discord, and it's a lot of fun. We are on Patreon. If you want to pay the dollars. And support us financially for things like giveaways and stuff and just general like feels good.
Yeah. If you want to feel nice good, we can do that for you.
Yeah. It's connected directly to your bank account. It's a very small eel that connects to your bank account. It just drains like $1 or $2 a month.
If you want to join our eel, follow the link to our patreon.com/thetonecontrol that's in the show notes.
And I fixed the Discord link in all of those places. So
thank you.
Now it'll work. Yep.
And there's also a newsletter. Maybe a newsletter
that we haven't sent
someday.
By the way, if you're, sign up. We haven't sent anything since we announced the winner.
Yep.
So
that all just
proof that we don't care.
Nobody's bothering you. Nobody's bothering you in the slightest.
Nope.
All right. Well, I guess it's time to, play us out and thank the patrons. So
yeah,
so I shall. Thanks go to Nick Greenwood, Carson Ricketts, Matthew Fenslaw, Ryzen Wolf, Brian Gower of the Tone Jerks Podcast, Andrew Walsh of Andrew's Alcove, Jamie Evans. Sorry, Jamie. Sean Wright of Lollygagger Effects, Big Daddy Doug, P. Barry Wiggle Whistle. Extra special thanks to Peaberry Wiggle Whistle.
Thank Guess who got so to much. Change that name today?
Well, anyway, this is fun. See you next time.
See you next time.
Bye. It turned down. Why'd it turn down?